Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and last week we looked at verses 1 and 2. Hopefully we can get through verses 3 through 10 this morning. So if you have your Bible, would you stand as we honor God's word one more time? If you don't have one, look on with your somebody who's got one, or grab your iPhone, smartphone, whatever you've got. And I think, Ellen, I'll start at verse 1 because it makes more sense to roll back to verse 1 instead of jumping in mid-sentence. But therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Come on, everybody say amen. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. My good brother and sister, the McAllisters, are with us this morning. John heads up our good. John and Lynn head up our good news clubs all across town, and they're doing a wonderful work for the Lord. John, ask God to bless the word, would you, this morning?
Father, we're very grateful that you continue to speak to us through your living word. And
yes.
We ask this morning, as we open our minds and our hearts to the teaching, that you would use your word to change us.
Yes.
From the inside out, Father, that you would mold us in your image, that as we live our lives, we would do so in such a way that we would honor and glorify
yes.
the name of Christ Jesus in everything we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I want to tell you, Scott and Melinda Denny get the prize today, don't they? Look at all these grandkids they've got with them. Praise the Lord. It blesses me to see a whole family just come on in, you know? And my little niece from Parts Unknown is here. She brought her two twins, little boy and little girl, with us this morning. Glad to have you all. And some of Diana's friends are with us this morning. It's just great to have this couple of ladies here. Amen. God just keeps bringing people our way. Well, let me clue the 8:30 crowd again. God just keeps bringing people our way. Yes. People immediately notice how friendly or unfriendly a church family is. So don't ever forget that. All right, let's get into the word. I want to talk to you about living in the light. Living in the light this morning. You know, he talks here about walking. That's all throughout the book of Ephesians, walking. And walking really speaks of our lifestyle, our behavior, the way we live. That's how that word is used in this passage of Scripture. And so, since we are in Christ, we've got a new walk. We've been radically transformed. We're different now than the way we used to be. Somebody shout glory. We are different now that we are in Christ. And Paul describes that difference as the difference between darkness and light. Darkness and light. That's what we want to look at this morning. Now, I want to encourage you all, stay with me. We're looking at some tough stuff up front. We're looking, first of all, at the gloom of darkness. But bless God, we're going to end up in the glory of light. So y'all got to hang in here with me this morning, okay? Tell somebody I'm hanging. All right. And verses 3 through 7 is talking about the gloom of darkness, where we used to be, where we used to live, where we used to walk in darkness. Look again at verse 3. It says, now there's three triplets here. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. That's significant. There are some forms of conduct, some forms of behavior that are really not fitting for a child of God, not fitting for a saint. Now, if you are saved, you are a saint. Anybody called you a saint lately? Well, you're either a saint or you ain't. But the word saint means to be a set apart one. You see, if you're a child of the light, you have been set apart by God and for God. You're a saint. You are a saint. Now, you know what? The Bible doesn't call you a sinner any longer. You're a saint. Now, that doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. The only thing good about Cal Hampton is Jesus. Amen? So don't get to thinking, you know, high and holy of ourselves. But you're a saint. You've been set apart for God into the light. Now, there are some behaviors that are just not proper for a saint that he's talking about here. You know, some of you ladies may have been out shopping this week and you brought home a nice new outfit. Somebody commented this morning, maybe, oh, that's your color. What does that mean? Oh, that's your color. Well, it means that what you've got on either adds to or enhances your beauty. And there are some behaviors that Paul's talking about here that do not enhance or add to the beauty of a saint. And Paul gets real specific about those. First of all, he describes some unthinkable things. Now, three types of sexual sins there in verse 3. Fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. Duh, right? Any sex that's outside of the boundary lines of marriage, that's fornication. And uncleanness is the second sexual sin. Now, that's basically any type of sexual activity like perversion or pornography, sex trafficking, things like that. Am I communicating with you? So that's uncleanness. And then the third one is covetousness. And covetousness in this form is desiring a person or someone's body for sexual pleasure. Those three triplets are sexual sins. And these three words, really, if you start thinking about fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, do they not just describe America for you today? They really do, don't they? You know, I'm a product of the 60s and 70s, and the sexual revolution in the 60s promised to set us free. Well, what it's really done is enslave us instead of set us free. I want to tell you, because of fornication and some other issues, divorce is rampant. STDs are epidemic. Children born out of wedlock. All these things are the direct result of these three sexual sins. And for a believer, this should not be. I know this is tough to sit here and hear, because we're going to touch on something that every one of us probably deals with in one way or another here in this room this morning. But for a believer, there's a certain set of behaviors. But now, being a Christian is so much more than just a list of don't do's. And we're going to cover that. Y'all got to stay with me. We're going to end in glory this morning, okay? And so The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, condemns these three sexual sins. And then he begins to talk about sins of speech. Sins of speech, unspeakable things there in verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Again, three triplets, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, filthiness is basically, we're talking about nasty language, dirty talk. You say, well, Brother Cal, I don't hear much of that. Well, you're not getting out very much then. If you get out at all, you hear dirty, filthy language. That's what he's talking about here. It's everywhere. Four-letter words, vulgarities, obscenities, all kinds of filthy speech. These are sins of speech. Foolish talking is senseless conversation. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation with there's no purpose to it? Not going anywhere. It's just a bunch of babbling. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Foolish talking is senseless conversation that cheapens the person that's listening to it, and it doesn't edify or minister grace to the hearer that's listening. My daddy used to say, if you can't say anything good, oh, y'all had one too, okay. Don't say anything at all. And then coarse jesting, what in the world is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The word, we're talking here about off-color jokes. The word means to be able to turn easily. We're talking about jokes that kind of cross over the line. Are y'all with me? Dirty jokes, off-color jokes. Now, I'm not talking about humor. As a matter of fact, it would do some of y'all good this morning to just throw your head back and have a good laugh. Right? I mean, I'm not talking about a good joke. Those are good. Matter of fact, I think it's the scriptures talk about a merry heart doeth good like medicine. But what we're talking about here is, let me just park right here for just a minute. Some of us have the idea that you've got to be serious to be holy. You know, we don't ever smile because we're so filled up with God and we're holy. And we've got folks, I don't know that we've got these in Second Mile because they don't feel comfortable here. But their faces are so long they can lick lick butter off a churn. You understand what I'm saying? We need humor. We need to have a good laugh every now and then. Some of you need that. But what we're talking about here now is dirty jokes. We're talking about telling something that's not good. And dirty jokes really ought to have no place in my mind or my mouth. Amen? Two indications, really, of a person's spiritual health is what it takes for them to cry or weep and what makes them laugh. Think about that. What people are joking about really tells you what's down in their hearts. You know, you hear all kinds of stuff like that in a break room, around a table, outside. Sins of the speech. Why is the Apostle Paul bringing up unthinkable things and unspeakable things? Well, it's because, look at verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous. Those are the three triplets of the sexual sins. Did you catch that? Who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. That's speech. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, let me put it like this. We are not talking about, you know, an incident over here and an incident over there or you have fallen into one of these sins over here. We're talking about lifestyle. If sexual sins or sins, these sins of speech are the pattern, the practice of your life, you're giving evidence that you've never been changed by the power of Almighty God. He says no one that's practicing and in this lifestyle is ever going to inherit the kingdom of God because their heart has never been changed. How many of you know what America needs is a new heart? And only Jesus is the one that can change your heart. And so that's what he's saying here, is that folks who are practicing and that are in this type of lifestyle, friend, if we cannot sin as the children of light and get by with it, because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. So God's so serious about sin that he put his son on the cross to pay for our sin. And you see, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, the wrath of God abides on you. Now, that doesn't make me happy to say that this morning, but that's scriptural. That's biblical. Now, you can't live the way that he's talking about here and be saved. Doesn't have anything to do with your works save you. You're giving evidence that you've never been saved if this is the pattern. Am I communicating with y'all? Okay? I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm just talking about a holy mindset. You understand what God's desires are, and you understand what pleases God, and it is somewhere deep down in the well of your heart that you want to put a smile on God's face by the way you're living your life. Right? All right. So I'm not going to be one who's going to stand up here and just tell us everything's all right. Just not going to do that. And that's the reason a lot of our towns and our cities and our counties and our country's in the shape it's in. Is because you... Listen, folks. Somebody who will never tell you the honest truth doesn't really love you. It's only those people who really do love you that will tell you the honest truth. Truth. And so I've come here today to speak truth into your life, and everything's not all right. All this positive feel-good stuff has its place, but I want to tell you there's another, God is love, but there's another side to God that we need to consider. His holiness and his righteousness. And the wrath of Almighty God abides on the lifestyles of those who are practicing these sins. Well, and look at verse 7. Watch this. Don't miss this. Look at verse 7. Do you see that word partaker? That means fellowship. In other words, children of light are not to have anything to do with this stuff. We're supposed to run from it. Well, if you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew 5 real quick with me. I want you to see what Jesus said about some of this stuff. Matthew 5, when you found verse 27, say amen. Boy, y'all are fast. Matthew 5:27. I want you to watch this now. All right, you have heard it. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now listen to what he says. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is far more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, are we talking about literally cutting off our hand? Literally pulling our eye out of its socket? No, it's saying basically sin is a very serious thing in the life of a believer, and we need to treat sin seriously. Look what our sin did to Jesus. And we think we're going to get by with that? No. It is sin in the life of a believer is a very serious thing. And so Jesus said, you better take steps to deal with it seriously. And here's where I am with all this stuff about hell and all this practicing the lifestyle stuff. Listen, folks, if you can sin and get by with it and not have any conviction about it and not be feeling shame and guilt and that kind of thing over it, major spiritual problems. That's what he's trying to get us to recognize. And so, are you ready to move on from all this gloomy darkness? Let's get into the glory of the light. We can stay in darkness for a little while longer if y'all want to. All right, let's get into the light. Amen? All right, verse 8. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. Verse 8, for you were once... Now notice what he doesn't say. You were once in darkness. What does he say? You were darkness. That's a major message right there. There's two kinds of folks. Darkness and light. But now you are light in the Lord. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's a great, great message for us. We used to be darkness. We used to be in darkness. We were children of the dark. But I love what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says. It says simply this: God has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are his own special people. You're a saint of God. And the saints are supposed to shine like nobody's business. When you go into a dark room and you turn on your phone or take a flashlight, light them out, whatever, what does that darkness do? It runs. And we're to shine like lights. Matthew 5:14 says, You're the light of the world. As a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're the light. You're not only in the light, you are the light. You're the light of the Lord. And we're to shine brightly. We're to shine brightly for Jesus' sake in this dark world that we're living in. Now, look at verse 9. For the fruit, now here's another triplet, okay? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's the Holy Trinity of the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, you want to know what a person who is walking in light, who is the light, looks like? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. He or she is focused on those three things. Goodness, righteousness. Now, that y'all understand, the only thing righteous about us is that we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Right? And truth. If this world ever needed to hear about truth, today is the day. Goodness, righteousness, and truth are the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, and I almost missed it. Did you see? Look at verse 10. Finding out what is, what's that next word? Pleasing, acceptable to the Lord. That word acceptable has its roots in that of the testing of metal for purification's sake. You understand what he's saying here? As a Christian, is your lifestyle pure and acceptable to the Lord? As a child of the light, is there any conduct in my life that's not pleasing to the Lord? When we're living a life that is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, we shine for Jesus. What kind of light are you putting out today? I was driving I was driving. It's been several years ago this truth was illustrated to me. And it was night time and I was going home, and I went past this cemetery at night. And y'all, that cemetery was lit up like a Christmas tree. There were dozens and dozens of these crosses all across the cemetery at people's graves. And it was so bright, that old dark cemetery was lit up. I mean, I almost ran off in the ditch. I was so blown away by the light and how bright it was. And I thought, you know, what a wonderful thing. And so it was beautiful. And a few days later, I ran into the caretaker of the cemetery. And I asked him, I said, we got to talking about those crosses that had lit up the night sky and made that old dark, gloomy cemetery come to life, you know. And I asked him, I said, are those crosses battery powered? And he said, no. He said, they are solar powered. The sunlight energizes them during the day, and they continue to shine in the dark. Are y'all with me? You see, as we walk in the light and the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. If we're going to shine in this old, dark, gloomy world that we live in, if we're going to light up the darkness, brothers and sisters, we've got to live in the light, so that He can energize us and help us to shine for God's glory. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to live in the light of the risen Lamb. I hope and pray that this morning, something that was said, something that was written in God's Word, something the Spirit of the Lord said to you, listen, it's all about Me. And you are one of My children. And you need to live in a way that's pleasing to Me, so that your life will shine out here in this dark world that we're living in. You know, my brothers and sisters, that's what this life is all about, is bringing glory and honor to Christ Jesus. That's what this life is all about. So I've said all that to say this. Are you a child of the light? Are you? Has God changed your life? Are you living in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to the Lord? We're children of the light, and we ought to look like it. And you know what? You've got the strongest force in the universe deep down in your spirit. And if you'll allow Him, He will energize you as you dive. That's what we've been talking about in the book of Ephesians, diving into the Word and allowing Him to speak life into us. And we won't have any problem shining for Jesus. I could say a lot more, but let's pray. Father, I really am having trouble landing this plane this morning, because what we're talking about is so important. There's been times in my life when I was not drawing people to Christ. I was causing them to fall away from Christ. And I want to thank You that You took me to the woodshed and disciplined me and spanked me and got me back on the right path. Because, Lord, to be honest with You, some of these things that we're talking about this morning really tear up a testimony. It really wears out a witness. God, I don't want anything in my life I'm probably in the fourth quarter of my life now. Father, I want to live in such a way that Jesus Christ is glorified. I want to shine for Jesus. I want the light of the Lord to reach far and wide. And I pray for my brothers and my sisters here, Lord, that we too would make a decision this morning to shine for Jesus' sake. That we would live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to you. And the only way we can do that is through the power of your Spirit. And Father, if we don't have your Spirit, we're children of darkness. And oh, I pray today that you might call someone from darkness into your marvelous light. That you would see fit to save someone's soul. And as with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, paid for every single one of your sins, every one of them, on a cross. He satisfied the wrath of God for your sin and mine. And 3 days later, after his death, after his blood was shed, and he gave his life, he got up from the grave. And he's alive this morning offering forgiveness of sin and eternal life. By faith, if you would look to the finished work of Christ, he is the light of the world. If you would receive him by faith today, surrender to him. Just say, I'm yours. God will receive you. And you'll move out of darkness into the light. You just pray right there where you sit. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do today, just say yes. Father, bless these dear friends of mine. Only you know about these issues of the heart. Clean us up. Save us. Whatever you need to do here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.